Hey guys, and welcome back for another episode of the Letting Go of Perfectionism podcast. Here is my message. We can tweak the system to get you the outcome that you want. That's what I tried to say on the last episode, and after listening back to it, that was my takeaway. We can tweak the system to get you the result that you want. We don't have to change you. We can change the system. We can make adjustments to the environment around you that is contributing to you continually not reaching the end goal outcome that you have in mind. Okay, thanks for hearing me out on that. Let's go ahead and start the episode from the top. Let me see if I can pull up my notes here. Okay, so my notes say, power of life and death in the tongue, exciting times, all or nothing thinking, patterns and overwhelm. So what caused me to want to get on here and record was actually that I was noticing some patterns both in myself as well as my clients that I wanted to highlight and shed light on and bring an awareness to. And I had a revelation in John chapter 1 verse 5, it says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. My revelation from that was when we pray and ask God to shine light in a dark place and to reveal to us what we need to know, what we need to do, what we need to start doing or stop doing. When we say prayers like that and ask Him to shine a light, the light is coming in to cast out the darkness. The light is coming in to cast out the confusion. And oftentimes, the thing that's there causing the confusion and creating the confusion will probably be upset that the light is now here casting it out. So whether it's a person, a situation, an old habit, you are disrupting that environment that you were just in of darkness. Okay? We know that the enemy is dark. We know that the devil is dark. He comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. So anything that you find is stealing, killing, and destroying your happiness, your joy, your pursuit of goals, that's a sign that the enemy is present. When the enemy is present, and even when he isn't, we should be proactively repenting to God, thanking God, renouncing our old ways and replacing them with what's in alignment with God. And in addition to that, we want to be... maybe that's all I had to say on that. Like, the darkness and the confusion is representative of the devil and demonic forces and spirits at work. So we should not get comfortable with dark. We should be praying for light, seeking light, and allowing light in. So the pattern that I've been noticing is a few. So one of them is continuing in cycles. So these cycles, particularly of codependency. When I say codependency, I mean living our lives and doing things as a direct response and reaction to someone else. Reacting and responding to what they think about you, what they've said about you, how they view you, and really giving way too much power away and putting way too much effort, energy, and attention into that other person. Now, I think this is the part that trips a lot of people up. It literally doesn't matter who the person is. It could be the president of the United States. It could be the kingdom of a country. It could be the prince of a nation. It could be your parents or your siblings. It could be your own self and your own child. If these things are not lining up with the word of God, and that's why I think it's so important for us to be reading our Bibles and be learning the word. And I thank God for answering my prayers. I prayed and asked Him to give me the want to read the word of God. And my life has not been the same since. It has changed in the last month, 2 months, 3 months, 1 year, and 2 years. So 2 years ago, I started attending a group Bible study. Maybe it's been like a year and a half, and just it hasn't even been a full year yet. I started going through the Bible. I think I started with I think I started in, maybe it's been, wow. We already, July 2020, I think July 20, no, it has been a year. July 2023, I think I started, like literally reading my Bible, or maybe it was like, actually I have my notebook here. I should be able to check March, April. I'll tell you at some point in a future episode, but I started that, and just even reading the scripture, John 1:5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Or Galatians, what was it? 6:17. That's a good one. Y'all should look that one up. But okay, let me move us along in my message here. Okay, the pattern of, yeah, like living a codependent life. So, and this is, there's more for me to get into as far as the importance of setting boundaries. The reason why it's so important to break free from living a codependent life and to start setting boundaries with other people and other people's thoughts of you is because if you don't, it will impact your self-esteem. It will impact your self-image. It will prevent you from ever being able to love yourself, because the minute you go to try and love yourself, all you will think of and bow to is this other person. And there's no person and no thing on this earth we should be bowing to. God is the only person to bow to, and there is only one. So, and maybe that's the message that I learned and I think is important to get out to people. Someone told me once, they said, when I was either studying for exams or looking to make a team switch in my career, changing jobs, and I was getting a little worked up, they were like, where are you putting your trust? Where are you putting your faith? In man or in God? In systems or in God? And if your answer is anything other than God, you are now, and they didn't tell me this, but I learned it later, that's idolatry. You are worshiping an idol God, lowercase g. So maybe I can just further personalize it and make it about me. But when I feared something not working out, in that case, the job change, not getting the opportunity, not interviewing well enough, I was not putting my faith in God. I was putting my faith in myself, and I am not God. God is God. And I think that that's something I've shared before. I am not God. God is God. And that was an important lesson for me to learn. When you can live life knowing that you are not God, that God is God, you can hang on to the power that is invested in us through the Holy Spirit, but you can let go of the powers that you never had, which were the powers to control other people and the powers to control outcomes and the power to control what people think about you and say about you. I think the biggest thing is we thought we had control. You thought you could control what someone thought of you. You influenced it in a way, but what's the word say? Was a man to gain the world and lose his soul? If you thought you were influencing how someone perceived you and you were engaging in codependent behaviors in order to cause that influence to happen, but you were acting in a way that brought no joy to you and left you feeling void and empty in the end, how are we measuring success? That's a nice segue into success. How important it is to define success in the beginning, and to define success for you. Someone said that setting boundaries is not a collaborative effort. It's what you set. I think the same is true when setting, when defining success for you. When you are literally working on your own thing, focus on your own life, and independently setting for yourself what success means and looks like, I don't think it's a collaborative effort. I think collaboration can come in down the line to help you bring it to life. But oftentimes you have all the ideas you need. And if you want more ideas and if you want to brainstorm and read articles and talk to coaches, great. But ultimately, this is your life. These are your goals. And you know what you want. And we may have talked about this in a previous episode about how you can want what you want, but it's important that what you want lines up with God's plans for your life. You can have everything you want in life that God wants you to have. He knows what's best for you. And if you believe that and you have faith in that, then I think that the ability to surrender becomes a bit easier because you surrender to a higher power of God who knows your life, who shaped you and formed you in your mother's womb, who knew you before you were born, who orders your steps and has the perfect plan in place to prosper you. Pastor Daniel says, I want nothing less than God's best for my marriage. I want nothing less than God's best for my children. I want nothing less than God's best for my career. I want nothing less than God's best for my health. I want nothing less than God's best for my life. If what I want is less than God's best for me, I do not want it. And guess what? Anything that I want that does not line up with the word of God and his plan for my life is less than his best because I thought of it with my finite brain and mind. Okay, I think I carried that point home enough. Let me go back to my notes. So overwhelm is like the outcome and the output of the pattern. But what leads to that? Overcommitting and not processing your past. So I found this article and I can link it in the show notes. But it talks about the steps to healing. Because I was looking up what are the steps to coaching a client to success. And I was looking up what are the steps of planning an event. Because I'm in the process of planning my book tour launch event. So I wanted to know what the steps for planning an event were. Because I'm already in it. And I was trying to understand where in it I was. Well, in the midst of looking for that event planning steps and coaching a client to success steps, I came across this other one. And it says, 1 second, I'm going to bring it up. It was a good one. Okay, it says, okay, that's still coaching a client to success. There was one about healing. And y'all know we don't edit podcasts over here, so all this silence is just gonna be in there. But I'm still here. I'm searching on iNotes, but iNotes, like when I look for the word pops up not where the text is. Okay. It says 7 stages of emotional healing. 1 is awareness, 2 is acceptance, 3 is processing, 4 is releasing. Okay, so the creator of the bullet journal, writer, Carol, he says, if you don't take time to process your past, your future will start to look a lot like it. That shook me. It shook me to my core. It shook me to my core because I was watching my future about to unfold behind, but before my eyes and look like my past. And I just could not have that, y'all. My past is made up of operating out of survival, operating from a place of codependency, operating from a place of fear, self-doubt, operating from a place of all or nothing thinking, catastrophizing, expecting the worst possible outcome and no good. But I observed in some of my clients, their past, because we're working on bringing it into their past because they're on their way to the future. Their past is operating from a place of believing bad things always happen to them. All or nothing thinking. We'll hit on all or nothing thinking, but okay, I didn't even realize that there were 7 steps. I had interpreted it as like 5 or 6 at first because when I was scrolling, I didn't go past the ad. Interesting. Wow. Okay, so my takeaway before realizing that there were 7, not 4 steps was that I was aware, I had accepted things, and I had already released it, but I needed to finish processing. Apparently, growth is a step. Integration is a step, and transformation is a step. So I can say I've been transformed in some ways, and I'm integrating in some ways, and I've definitely grown a lot, and I've released a lot, but I'm definitely still processing. We're always still growing. I feel like I've fully accepted it. And I feel like I'm mostly aware of what's happened in the past has brought us to the present. I'll have to read the article in greater depth to understand if they feel that you completely check these off for particular events. I would imagine you would. It's like a project that sees and the situation is over. So maybe the transformation is done. The growth is done. You've released it. But I don't know. Maybe processing continues as you continue to get more revelations down the line. Y'all gonna have to excuse me for being all over the place in this podcast, but I really just had to get on here and get an episode out for Q1, especially ahead of the March book event. Okay, so let's switch gears and focus on the book event. So the book event is coming up. I found a list of steps that you take to plan an event. Step 1 is organize your objectives. 2 is establish a budget. 3 is build an event team. 4 is select a venue and date. 5 is choose event management software. 6 is establish vendors, sponsors, and partners. 7 is plan the program and entertainment. 8 is brand and market the event. 9 is determine an event day schedule. And 10 is create success metrics. It's interesting that creating success metrics is number 10. I mean, it kind of relates to the goals and objectives at the top for me, but I can empathize with how it's taken me time to figure out what the event is intended to be. And as that's changed, it's better to wait until you're solid on what it is. And then that way you can create metrics around what it is, not what you think it is going to be. So my final piece that I'll leave you all here with is that as you go on these new and exciting journeys, remember that you are not the first one to go on it. Whether it's a new job journey, you're not the first person to start a new job. If you're pursuing a licensing exam, you're not the first person to do it. There are other people pursuing Series 7, 63, real estate licensing exams. There are tons of agents, and that's because they went through the licensing exam process to become one. So there's a journey and there are steps, and they've been defined already. I recognize that at times the steps that are predefined don't always work perfectly and accordingly for us as individuals. They're not personalized, but as you go through your journey and you experience that personalization, know that the personalization is just building on the foundation that existed before. So when you write the book and you're starting from scratch, and you're on your journey to becoming an author, the stages and steps you go through may not look exactly like the next person's, but if you Google how to write a book, you can boil down the steps that they give you to reflect the actual steps that you took, because there are a core number of steps that must be taken in order to achieve the goal outcome. And so we started at the beginning saying we can tweak the environment to help you achieve the outcome. A part of that environment is your mind. You live in the environment that your mind creates for you. And as Pastor Daniels preached last Sunday, you live in the filters of your life. He shared how the filters are a part of your past experiences combined with your present emotions and your future assumptions. So the past, the present, and the future together combined make up your filter. If we can change your filter, we can change your life. If your filter stays the same, your life will stay and feel the same. If you are continuing to focus on your past and what he said and she said and they thought and how they treated you, and you continue to not heal, if you continue to presently feel the way those past thoughts make you feel, sad, rejected, abandoned, inadequate, not good enough, and if you continue to project that past experience and those present emotions onto your future assumptions and create these limiting beliefs around what can happen, what always happens, what will never happen, how unfair the things are that happen to you, you will never, and I guarantee you ever, achieve your goal success with any remnant of satisfaction, of gratitude, of happiness, effectiveness, joy. Because that's what we want. We want to feel happy. We want to experience joy. But what you will experience by hanging on to those past beliefs and experiences, which trigger present unnecessary emotions, not reflective of your true life, that end up reflecting and projecting onto your future, what you will end up with is staying stuck exactly where you are, wherever you are, in that city you don't want to live in the job you're tired of working, at the company you're tired of working for, doing the job role function you no longer enjoy, reporting to the manager who's mediocre and disengaging, and living your life in a form that is less than the best for what God intended for your life. He intended you to have life and life more abundantly. So when you're in lack, when you are sad, when you are depressed, when you are anxious, when you are worried, that is not lining up with what God intended for your life. And I want you to keep that in mind. Keep that in mind for the rest of your life, for the rest of the time on this earth that you have breath flowing through your lungs and body. This is serious stuff. The plans of the enemy are to rob you, to steal, kill, and destroy all remnants of joy, of happiness, of groundedness, of love, self-love, capacity to love others, capacity to receive love. These are the tactics of the enemy to get you down and depressed and anxious and worried and clinging to comforting vices, to feel alone, to feel like you're the only one and it always happens to you. When you hear that voice, know that it's the devil speaking to you. And I want to just offer up prayers and encouragement for you to not stay content with that status, because it's not the status you are meant to have in life. So let me start to wrap us up here. I'm going to go back to my notes one last time. And thanks for bearing with me as I found that article on emotional healing, because now we all know that there are 7 steps and not just 4. So I'm going to have to go back and look over that. But so I'm an all or nothing thinking coach. I help clients to stop thinking in extreme all or nothing black or white approaches. Through doing this, I help them to achieve their goals and get from point A to point B and to go from a spiral to a straight line. I help them to get out of their own way. I help them to stop blaming other people for what they need to do and I help them to define success for themselves on their own terms so they can not only achieve it, but feel good about it once they do, because it wasn't something they pursued because someone else said that they should. And it wasn't something that they pursued because someone said that they never could. Okay, because we're not here to prove anything to anyone. God says if you are here to seek the approval of man, you might as well not serve me, because there is only one God and they are not it. Okay, I'm gonna just leave us there. I know we started off, I'm gonna close this out. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. If you are in the Bay Area, I hope that you get a chance to attend my event. Send me an email if you're interested in learning more about it. It is on March 9th in San Francisco. Follow me on LinkedIn. My LinkedIn is my first and last name. And yeah, I hope this podcast finds you well and finds you at a time when you need it most. And I'll catch you guys next time. Bye now.